translation. Thus, all the residents of Jagannath Puri, which is also known as Purushottam, were very anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. While all the residents of Jagannath Puri were thus anxious, the Lord returned from South India. Hearing of the Lord's return, everyone became so happy, and they all went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and spoke to him as follows. Please arrange our meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is only by your mercy that we can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Bhattacharya replied to the people, tomorrow the Lord will be at the house of Kashi Mishra. I shall arrange for you all to meet him. This actually happened. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived and went with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with great enthusiasm to see the temple of Lord Jagannath. There are descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath. It is described that he would not approach the Lord very closely. He had an experience when he first went into this temple which kept him in the distance from the Lord. See, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Jagannath Puri, he had a very ecstatic meeting with the Lord, which is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached the Puri temple, and as he was still quite far away, he saw standing next to the flag on top of this big, big temple, high above the ground, a young boy who had the color of sapphires, a bluish color. He was smiling bewitchingly to him, and he was waving, come. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raced with the speed of the mind into the temple where he saw, where he found his Supreme Lord. And you can understand, he was coming into the mandir, he was rushing towards the altar, and luckily he lost his consciousness before he stepped on the altar. If he would have embraced Lord Jagannath, whom he saw as the flute-playing Syama Sundar, who had waved him with his smile, imagine what would have happened. We are not advised to speculate, but speculate a little. He would have embraced the deity form, and what would have happened if he would have embraced the deity form? We can only guess. Once Lord Nityananda, he came into the temple, and he did not lose his consciousness. What he did is, when he saw Lord Balaram, he rushed on the altar. 10 pandas were immediately ready to get him off the altar, but Lord Nityananda, with his tremendous power, just threw them. They flew happily to the ground. It was not painful. It was ecstatic for them. And then Lord Nityananda looked lovingly at Lord Balaram, took his garland, and happily, fully aware that everyone was watching, put the garland around him, smiled to the people, and like a little child, jumped from the altar and happily laughed. And there was no one who had the power to stop him, because he is Lord Balaram. Everyone became aware of this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost his consciousness, and because he knew, I'm in danger when I see Lord Jagannath, of rushing on the altar and embracing him, he would always stay back at the Garuda Stamba, which is a good distance away from the Lord, and he would cry tears of ecstasy as he watched his beloved Lord in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He would cry, and his tears came down so profusely that they would actually wash the stone on which he was standing, the ground, so that even today you can find the big lotus footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are as this size. If you ever visit Karuna Bhavan in Goloka Dham, I can show you these lotus footprints. They are very, very big, and you become very blissful just by seeing them. So he would also lean on the pillar, and because his body became transformed by so much ecstasy, his hands with which he touched the pillar would actually laser beam themselves into the pillar. And the pillar had three fingerprints of Lord Chaitanya. Still now you can see these divine fingerprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which can show you that his body must have been, even by modern analysis, totally transcendental, because whose body can become hotter than the melting degree or melting state of stone? Only God's body. If our body, you know, when there's a little flame, it melts away. A flame which cannot harm a stone can harm our body very easily. But Mahaprabhu became so hot, hotter than any flame, and his fingerprints are in the pillar. That is Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya with great enthusiasm went into the temple. This was the first thing he did. And we will continue now. What will happen then? Yes. All the servants of Lord Jagannath delivered remnants of the Lord's food to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They gave him Mahaprasad. In return, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them all. Wonderful. Can you imagine what happens when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces a servant of Lord Jagannath? That servant might have been a little mental before, but when he is embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he shows all the eight symptoms of existential ecstasy. After seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the temple. Bhattacharya then took him to the house of Kashi Mishra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at his house, Kashi Mishra immediately fell down at his lotus feet and surrendered himself and all his possessions. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does something which he sometimes would do to his very dear devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then showed Kashi Mishra his four-armed form. Then, accepting him for his service, the Lord also embraced him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next sat down at the place prepared for him, and all the devotees headed by Lord Nityananda Prabhu surrounded him. Wonderful painting. You know, you please enter this scene now. They all sit down. Mahaprabhu has returned from a sacred pilgrimage. They have all been longing to see him. And they are now ready for the darshan of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also very happy to see them, because we hear that these devotees who were with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were all devotees who had gone with him or associated with him for many, many lifetimes. They had followed him through the different incarnations which the Lord took, and they always were with him. They changed forms, and sometimes they would forget that they had been, for instance, with the Lord when he came as Ramachandra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would recognize them. For instance, one devotee, he said, "You are Hanuman." And Radhanath Maharaj always describes this. When this devotee heard this, he a tail was growing out of his dhoti. And he saw it was correct. He was Hanuman. Hari Bol. This is quite something. He would write on another devotee's forehead, "Rama Das, you are a servant of Ram." The devotee, it was an ecstatic time, my dear devotees. It was totally ecstatic. This is beyond all theoretical religious discussion. This is practical ecstasy in liquid form. Yes, Hare Krishna. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspected his rooms. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see his residential quarters, in which all his necessities were taken care of. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explains to him, this is now where you will stay, my lord. This place is just befitting you. Please accept it. It is the hope of Kashi Mishra that you do accept this. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answers in a way which is also typical for him. You will find many places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks in this language, a very devotional language, where he describes himself to be the devotee of his devotee. He says, "My body belongs to all of you. Therefore, whatever you say, I agree." After this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, sitting at the right hand of the Lord, began to introduce all the inhabitants of Purushottam, Jagannath Puri. The Bhattacharya said, "My dear Lord, all these people who are the residents of Nilachal Jagannath Puri have been very anxious to meet you. In your absence, all these people have been exactly like thirsty Chataka birds, crying in disappointment. Kindly accept them." Do you know the speciality of the Chataka bird? Most of you know. This is a particular species of bird which only drinks the water from a rain cloud. Therefore, is highly dependent on the monsoon season. Somehow it survives, this bird, the year. It lives in dryness. But then, finally, it has an existential need. You know, it's very thirsty, at the verge of nervous breakdown. That bird waits for the rain clouds to assemble, and when the rain clouds come, the Chataka bird will fly towards the clouds, and it makes a sound which is very interesting thing. The cry of the Chataka bird is Jalli, Jalli, Jalli. It means not Jalli, Jalli means fast. It means give me water, give me water. This is how it flies. Jalli, Jalli, makes like this. And then even though there may be thunderclaps, which are to be expected after all, the monsoon comes like an actor who enters a stage with quite some drama and flashes and sounds, the bird cannot be diverted. It's not afraid. It flies right there and frolics and dances in the raindrops of that cloud, which are very necessary. Now, this bird is in Vaishnava philosophy is very often used, to my knowledge, in two ways. This is in Vaishnava poesy. First way is like here. The devotee waits for Krishna, who is also like the monsoon cloud. He's colored like this, and the dhoti of Lord Krishna is like a yellow flesh. Yes, so the devotee has no other lord than Lord Krishna, and even if the Lord is sometimes a little intense, maybe in testing his devotee, the devotee will not go and pick another lord. This is the first analogy, but the second is used by Sanatana Goswami, who says, if you wish to chant, you must chant like the Chataka bird, with an intense longing. Can you imagine this? The bird is thirsty for 1 year. How much he will want the water? It is the only thing in the head. Nothing else is in the head of the Chataka bird than water, water, water. In the same way as you chant, you must longingly call out for Lord Krishna and so on. Sanatana Goswami gives another bird example. It's the Chakravarti bird. This Chakravarti bird is, like all birds, a little lusty. Now, I mean, lusty is a derogative term. Romantically inclined towards his wife. But for some biological curse, or it may be a curse which is not biological, but which maybe a saint has cursed this poor bird, he can, first of all, only... in the day he is a little subdued, he is somewhere... But in the night he's out, and he looks for his partner, and he cries the whole night, ooh, ooh, ooh. But for some reason he can't find his partner. Now imagine it. You have a partner, a dear friend, a beloved one, and you want so much the association, you know, and you, the night comes, you know, I can meet this person in the night, and then you call the name, but somehow you can't meet the person. It's somehow you never meet him. How much eager you become. So this is how a devotee chants also. He knows, now is my time to meet Lord Krishna. I'm in this human form of life. I have received spiritual instructions and knowledge. Now it's a time for meeting Krishna, but somehow the meeting has not yet happened. So this is how the devotees, you know, in your absence, all these people have been exactly like thirsty Chataka birds crying in disappointment. Kindly accept them. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya begins to introduce the devotees. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first introduced Janardana, saying, here is Janardana, servant of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Sevaka. It means he is like a pujari. He renders service to the Lord when it's time to renovate his transcendental body. There's a purport. During Anavasara, that is after the Snan Yatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath is absent from the temple for 15 days so he can be renovated. This occurs annually, each year. Janardana, who is here being introduced to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was rendering this service at that time. The renovation of Lord Jagannath is also known as Navayovana, which indicates that the Jagannath deity is being fully restored to youth. In other words, that's not said here, but he is, you know, if there is some blackish color maybe because so many artiks were performed and the ghee lamps smoked. You can see here, this temple is also a little grayish. This is the ghee lamps, and the curtains are a little ghee lampish. This is typical. It's not so bad. Some ISKCON temples look like dark caves because of the ghee lamps. It is a sacred darkness, hopefully. So if there is anything, you know, which happened on the body, it is restored. He's newly painted at that time. And therefore, Navayovanam, new youth, is given to the Lord. He has a new youthful appearance after the painting. And this was done by Janardana, the Jagannath Sevaka. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "This is Krishna Das, who carries a golden cane." What an individual, isn't it? Sometimes we become disturbed in our institution when someone looks a little, has his own style. But this was a very nice style. Imagine, a golden cane. This looked really like something extraordinary. This is Krishna Das who carries such a golden cane. I'm not saying this should now be copied, but I'm saying there is an individual dressing style in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times. And here is Shiki Mahiti, who is in charge of writing. Aha, he's a writer. The person in charge of writing is called Doilo Karan Pada Prakrita Kamachari. Long name. He is employed especially to write a calendar called Matala Pani. Wonderful. Siki Mahiti has also some brother and sister. And this is Pradyumna Mishra, who is chief of all Vaishnavas. He is a great servitor of Jagannath, and his name is Dasa. So we all have, this is from here, huh? The name Dasa Nam, designated as Dasa. Purport. In Orissa, most of the Brahmanas have the title Dasa. Generally, it is understood that the word Dasa refers to those other than the Brahmanas. But in Orissa, the Brahmanas use the Dasa title. This is confirmed by Chulibata. Actually, everyone is Dasa because everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that sense, the bona fide Brahmana has first claim to the appellation Dasa. Therefore, in this case, the designation Dasa is not incompatible. I would really like to tell you something about Pradyumna Mishra, but I must admit to you, I do not know, and my notebook with all these explanations is not with me, so I do not know anything about him. But I know something about the title Dasa. It was maybe 3 years ago when we were in Jagannath Puri, I believe Srishtikata was also in Jagannath Puri during that time, and we went one day for a pilgrimage with one very talented devotee who knows every place, Madhavananda from Bhuvaneshwara, and we went to this one very nice devotee. He was a Brahmana. He had his study room, and it was very nice. The Sankirtan devotees will feel pleasure in hearing this. He had a full set of the Chaitanya Charitamrita there, written by Srila Prabhupada, and he was very, very impressed with the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. He had read this work of Srila Prabhupada and was very, very impressed, and he had the title Dasa, and he gave initiation to many, many people from Orissa who came to him. He was something like a hereditary initiation giver. So when he took us around, he took us to a place where there were all these small little tombs. In German the name is Grabmal. Little thing, and he said, this was so-and-so, 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 this was my predecessor, and this is for me. He said it so matter-of-factly that I never forget it. It's almost like if I say, come devotees, I have to show you something, and I bring you out of the castle where there is in the garden, I have a little, you know, something, a little arrangement, and say, this is for my dead body, my dear devotees. This is very nice, very personal, and very unafraid of death. I do remember this Dasa very, very much. Okay, so this is where our reading ends. We are now on text 43, and we will the class will continue. I would like now to speak something. I will put this. I'm sorry, I require a whole, you know, table here. This is all right. We can do. I would like to preach a little bit to you now. I'm sitting on this seat by some strike of good fortune, and I will now use this opportunity to preach a little bit to you. I would like to ask you a question first of all. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for you? Please avoid the typical answer of an ISKCON devotee who will now repeat what he has heard. It is good to repeat what we have heard, but it's also nice to have a little personal relationship to the deities. This is called Sambandha. We are all, it's necessary to have Sambandha. I must personally admit to you that this question, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I asked it after 30 years in the Hare Krishna movement. And I was embarrassed that it took me so long to ask this question in a personal way. When I entered this question, I first saw that I entered the tunnel of doubt. I had heard that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Srila Prabhupada, and I had accepted this in good faith. But then when I thought, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the Supreme Personality of Godhead for you? I was in a little difficulty. I must admit this very honestly to you. Let me describe to you how this question came about. I was once sitting in a university waiting for my turn to speak. There was one professor before me and one after me, and I had something. And this professor, I was not paying so much attention. I was a little nervous. I looked through my notes and remembered the rules of good delivery. And, I was preparing myself to give a lecture. And then the professor before me closed. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have given a lecture to you about Islam, but you will never understand Islam from a lecture. You must practice Islam." He was a Muslim scholar. "You must practice Islam." I woke up from my, not woke up, but I began to pay attention. And then he said, he gave one example. He said there was once disciple of a Sufi guru or Sufi teacher, and this disciple had approached his guru and told him, "Peer, I went 3 times through the Quran." And then this peer means Sufi guru, said to the disciple, "And may I ask you how many times the Quran went through you?" What he wanted to say is, Islam or religions for that matter is a subjective experience. It's not an objective experience where you look at something objectively, but it has to go inside of you, in your heart, and transform you. It's different. When the Western mind hears this, "Prabhus and Matajis, let's become subjective now." Oops. No, subjective. Let us stay objective. It's almost like a Schimpfwort, a bad name. "Oh, you're so subjective." In a spiritual life, this is a necessary, in a sense, to be subjective. Not without any security. We are guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. In other words, it's not an area open for the wildest of kalpanas, means imaginations of the material mind. But it is an area which is given to us where we have to make a Krishna conscious experience, where Chaitanya, where we have to place our faith, where we have to allow ourselves to be touched in our hearts and transformed. This is very nicely expressed in a song by Narottam Das Thakur in regards to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "Oh brother, please worship the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. I have not worshipped them, but instead have dived into the poisonous well of materialistic life, and as a result, my 5 life airs, prana, are burning with the poison of material life. Day and night I have burnt in the poisonous fire of the threefold miseries of material life. And as a result, I repeatedly faint. My senses are overwhelmed by lust, greed, and numberless other enemies, and I am averse to the great treasure which is the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Are Bhai!" Are Bhai means, "Oh brothers." Oh, brother, give up all fear and shyness and take shelter of merciful Lord Gauranga. Lord Gauranga rescues those who are most wicked at heart, and therefore he is known as Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. This is a nice pastime which I would like to narrate to you. See, in a prayer we say Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangong Langayate Giram Yat Kripatanga Ham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataram. We say by the mercy of the spiritual master a fool can speak. There is someone who got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he began to speak at a very young age. And I wanted to narrate this with you. When Shivananda Sena had a little boy, he brought that boy to Jagannath Puri for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the boy. You know, this is a natural symptom of a parent. He wants to present the child to those who are near and dear to him. The wife will happily give the child to her friends. The friends will appreciate the child for its good qualities. And the father will almost shyly, blushingly present, "This is my boy, see him." Sivananda Sena brought the Puridas. Puridas was very, his boy Puridas. Puridas was very small, like this, and he crawled towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wow, wow, wow. And then Mahaprabhu took his lotus toe and put it into the mouth of that Puridas. And Puridas was very happy about this. He sucked the toe of Lord Gauranga. Hare Krishna. It's a very fragrant toe. Mahaprabhu's champak or golden-like body had its own very sweet fragrance, the fragrance of a champak flower, and so on. So that was that. 7 years later, we go and fast forward, that Puridas came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu recognized the little boy and said, "Puridas, chant." But Puridas' lips remained sealed. He would not say Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was perplexed. He said, "I have brought the holy name even to the animals in the jungle and made the jungle animals chant." But this Puridas, who is the son of Shivananda Sena, my beloved devotee, he keeps his mouth shut. Imagine, you know, I would lovingly encourage you, "Let us chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," and there would be one amongst you who would go, I would think, "Oh, he has a severe personality problem. I must have done something totally wrong in my relationship to this particular devotee." I would, so this was Puridas would just not open his mouth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wonderstruck. Then Swarup Damodar said, "My dear Lord, there is a reason. You have given Puridas initiation into the name of Krishna. Now he chants this name confidentially and does not wish to express it before one and all. He's a shy, it's his greatest heart of treasure." So the next day Puridas came again to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 7 years old boy. And Mahaprabhu, who wanted to show his devotees the glory of this particular devotee, said, "Puridas, chant something." And the little boy began to chant one shloka, which I would like to chant for you, so that you know a little bit about the mercy of the Lord. Shravaso kuvalayatam akshno anjanam uraso mahendra manidama brindavana raminanam mandanam akilam hari jayati. The little boy stood there, overcome by ecstasy, and he said, Lord Sri Krishna is just like a bluish lotus flower for the ears. You know, you put a lotus flower sometimes playfully over the ear. He is an ointment for the eyes, a necklace of Indranila gems for the chest, and universal ornaments for the gopi damsels of Vrindavan. Let that Lord Sri Hari Krishna be glorified. This is how Puridas, who had gotten the toe of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into his mouth, was a poet already with 7 years of age, and began to compose this verse, which is very nice. You know, he compared Lord Krishna with a bluish lotus flower, and the ointment for the eyes, necklace of Indranil gems, all in best poetry. And this brings me to my secret, my yoga point. Something which is almost like a realization. We were discussing in our yoga class a point where I would say 70% of the audience went to the roof. That means, that's a German expression of disagreement, you know. Wenn man an die Decke geht. I don't know how you say it in English, but our yoga teacher told us that philosophies are not neutral. They carry a certain influence with them. And of course, some of us had explored psychology and outside information, and they felt severely attacked. A javelin went into their heart, you know, and of course they felt a need to defend their position and to defend this position. And I listened with a smile, and my internal smile. Of course, I couldn't smile outwardly. I would like you to think a little about this point, just to think about it. A little while ago, there was an investigation made in the Harvard University with cats. They took 5,000 cats. I will go very fast because the dailies won't like to hear this. It's just science. They took this and they gave them the desired cat food. Sahne, this means cream. Bread. But I don't think they like but whatever they like, we don't need to bring this up before breakfast. They all put this into a microwave oven and then heated it or treated it in the microwave oven and then gave the food to the cats. This they did with water, with milk, with everything which the cats took. I hope no one of you uses microwaves, because this will be intense now. They wanted to see what does microwave do to food. And what happened is, after only 2 days, the sexual preference of the cats changed. In other words, all of them became homosexuals. Male cats went after male cats, female cats after female cats. I mean, if you take the food which you put before a after the microwave treatment and you analyze it, you will not find any biochemical difference. This is exactly the same biochemical, you know, proteins or minerals and whatever. But there's something additionally there which you cannot trace very easily. This something additionally made the cats act like a normal cats. Then the experiment was continued to the very end, and all the cats died after a few months, depending on their constitution. See. In this food, the microwave food was something which you couldn't track. I would like to now go to human food. When you eat, we hear that the food carries often the consciousness of the person who prepares that food. That was the reason why Srila Prabhupada, when he came to Germany in 74, requested us to not eat kami bread. This was a bad news for the devotees, because Germans are bread eaters. They need their bread, otherwise they die, and so on. Even in our preaching party, we have to have bread, because there's one German there who needs his bread. But Prabhupada didn't want this. He made a suggestion. We asked him, Prabhupada, what should we then take? Then he said, you can bake in the temple chapatis. Imagine, you know, you need to have an extra truck just to have enough chapatis for hungry Sankirtan devotees. So, but we didn't understand at that time, but Prabhupada said that when non-devotees cook, their consciousness goes into the food and it influences you. I did not very much, I followed, but when I then became a preacher, it was maybe 4 years, 5 years afterwards. No, it was after Prabhupada's disappearance. I once had a striking realization. I went to a couple of who practiced Krishna consciousness, who started to practice Krishna consciousness at their homes. And at that time, I was even more immature than I am now. And I used to preach in such a way. Anyways, I am very ashamed, but I did encourage Grihastha Ashram, in other words. And the wife, for good reasons, for very good reasons, began to fear me that I would take her husband away from that Grihastha thing. I was fully guilty. So the husband one day said, please cook for him a bread. He likes bread. And she did this reluctantly. And then we traveled and I ate that bread with my partner. We ate it and we wanted to go to our next preaching appointment. But after we ate it, I said, I'm feeling very tired. And my partner also said, yes, let's sleep. I feel the same. So then I dreamt of the most ugly war scenes which you can imagine. Violence, aggressiveness, and so on. And I woke up after 4 hours and my partner was still woke him up and said, we slept a little long. Yes, he said, I dreamt of war. Food carries consciousness. Now, when I don't want to use this point now. There are ways which we can call yukta vairagya, where we use ideas, where we use things, in Krishna service. But I want to use actually this point in a positive way. If you want to be infected by a certain spiritual quality, it's very, very important that you allow that certain influence to come and empower you. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you want to have the ecstatic approach to the Lord, and you wish to overcome your own weaknesses, you need to feel the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another example which I would like to give. These are positive examples. If you wish to feel in this movement of Hare Krishna the same mood as Prabhupada placed into this movement, you have to read his books. You have to ponder about his points. You have to also follow a little bit his style. You know, you have to allow yourself to come into this energy field which carries certain spiritual informations. I must admit to you that sometimes I have very little time to read books, and then sometimes for preaching I have to prepare in this lecture or that lecture, and I take some information about vegetarianism and so on and so forth. And after some time of not reading or not hearing Prabhupada's lecture, something happens subtly. There is not enough energy field. There is not enough spiritual vibration there. So this is a very important point which I would like to present for your consideration. Things carry, energies or influences with them. And it's very important to consciously allow yourself to have this type of influence in your life, which can empower you and which can put you on the wavelengths. It's something very subtle which I wanted to present to you, and those who are subtle have heard what I wanted to say. Hare Krishna. So I will now look at the wrist, at the clock. It's 9:15. I just wanted to speak about this. I'm sorry. I know this is a Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Let us have the toe of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our mouth. Then something wonderful will happen. Let us have this divine, influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Arebai! Arebai means, oh brothers and sisters. Let us not be shy to subjugate ourselves to this divine influence of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I liked very much Jayadvaita Maharaj's comment on the installation of the Panchatattva. He said, now Lord Gauranga has come and he is known for his magnanimity. Magnanimity is a word which I also had to learn. It's a not so easy English word. It means in Deutsch Großzügigkeit. You can say open-heartedness. And can reach. Now we as a movement have to also extend our magnanimity to all the devotees and to the fallen souls. This, I believe, can happen if we allow the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this subtle spiritual energy to shape our lives, to move us in the right direction. All right, so we have come to the end of this class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.